On today's Into Your Head number 703, the humble elephant inspired trouser, how Columbus laid the way for satellite communication, how to dissuade a cat from drinking, catering for arachnophobia sufferers, and lots more. Cats walk into a bar. One of the cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, can I have a pint of your finest Guinness, please?" And the man behind the bar says, "I think you've had enough already, sir." And the cat says, "I didn't ask for your opinion." And the man says, "Well, I'm giving it anyway. It's my job as a responsible, licensed bar manager. It's my job to make a judgment as to whether or not you've had enough." And the cat says, "What if you had determined that I haven't had enough yet? Would that mean that you'd have to give me more beer regardless of whether or not I can afford it?" And the man says, "No, it doesn't." So the cat says, "Well, that's very irresponsible of you. Surely if it's your responsibility to make sure that I haven't had too much or that I've had enough, then if I come in here and I've obviously clearly haven't had enough, you should make sure you rectify the situation as a public service, as an act of responsibility you're in a role of responsibility here, clearly." And the man behind the bar says, the situation doesn't apply because you've clearly had too much. I'm changing up now. A minute ago I thought you'd have had enough. Now I thought not only have you had enough, you've had too much." The cat says, "How can you have both enough and too much at the same time? Surely those two are mutually exclusive." And the barman says, "Well, say for example you're in the desert and you had to you knew you were going to spend another 12 hours in the desert, and the only way you could quench your thirst was with some beer that you had on you. Then when you drink some of that, you've had enough to keep you going till you get out of the desert. But if you keep going after that, then you'll have had too much and dehydrated yourself." And the cat says, "Oh, I see what you mean now. That's a good example. Thank you very much. I'll note that for the next time I'm a cat in a desert with a supply of beer on me for some reason. But back here in the real world, I'm a talking cat in the pub and ask you up for a pint of frigging Guinness. And in the 2.25 minutes that you've been going on about this journey to Christ, I've burnt off some of the alcohol, so there's room for more now." And the man behind the bar says, that's a very good point that I'm pouring here, but I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to another customer. In fact, I might even drink it myself because I'll be closing down soon. If it's still fresh enough and nobody else wants it, I'll..." And the cat says, "Are you telling me that you're making pints of beer in advance now, like they do in some cheap tacky burger shop where they reheat the chips or the fries for you foreigners listening, and then reheat them when the customer comes in looking for them?" And the barman says, "Well, it's a bit like that, except you don't reheat the Guinness. It comes out cold and you keep it cold. There's no reason to be reheating it. I know it was heated as part of the brewing process, probably a boil water or something, but no, there's no reheating involved, even if you're giving out cold Guinness." And the cat says, "Oh, I see. Well, that's put my mind at rest, certainly." And the man behind the bar says, "Has it? Well, that's another sign that you're still drunk." And the cat says, "Oh, very clever. You caught me out there. You caught me out there. Aren't you great?" And the man behind the bar says, "Well, I didn't get this diploma that's up on the wall behind me for nothing." And the cat says, "I'll bet you didn't. I bet you you paid at least a couple of hundred euros for it on the internet." And the man behind the bar says, "No." And the cat says, I rescind my offer of a bet then." And the man behind the bar says, "Luckily, I'm not licensed to take bets, so any bet you made was null and void, because you would have lost it if I had." And the cat says, "I'm about to lose it now." And the man behind the bar says, oh, that's very funny. Here, have a Guinness." And the cat says, "Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. You're a very good man." And the man behind the bar says, No, I'm not. I'm ashamed of what I've just done." And the cat says, "Well, you shouldn't be. And the man says, well, I am, and I know I should be. And saying that I should be will only make me feel worse if I accept your claim that I should be, that I shouldn't be, because then I'll know I'm living a lie. And the cat says, I'm afraid I've lost the plot now of the conversation. Maybe I shouldn't drink this Guinness after all. And the man behind the bar says, QED. And the cat says, you bastard. Anyway, hello and welcome to the show. I've always been a great believer in the dictum, quod orati antiphobaracina, which, as you're no doubt fully aware, means nothing. That's why I can confidently state that I believe it's okay to attach your name to anything that has no meaning. It doesn't need to have. That's the best way to do it. Now you look on the internet, everyone says things that mean nothing because they're confident you can't get into any trouble with that. If I were to say something that meant something now, half of you would say, oh, that's against my beliefs, I'm turning this off right now, and the rest of you would say, oh, you're preaching to the converted here, this is a bit dull. I just say something that's mean, something that's meaningless, something that's as meaningless as be damned, as meaningless as some pop song, or one of those pop songs where it's the same line over again. There's one that goes, something, 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 and then there's a bridge, and then they go something, 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 something. Something, something, some, and then there's a bit of drums, and then they go something, something, and it's the same sentence over and over again. Absolutely fucking meaningless and pointless. Well, it's meant to be a throwaway pop song. You gurgitate in, and then you regurgitate it, and then you puke it out, and then you get on with your day. You enjoy the song for a few weeks, and then you move on to the next big thing, whatever that may be. Don't know what it is yet. These things, these popular trends and fashion, you can't predict them. Next week, everyone could be wearing one-sleeve trousers. It's a trouser. It's designed on they call it an elephant trouser. It's like a normal denim trouser, except it's got a trunk coming out of the top of it, and you put one of your arms in through the trunk. Presumably, it comes out the side. So one of your arms goes into the trunk. So you've got one of your sleeves matches your trouser. It's like wearing a half a denim jacket. That's the new alternative to wearing layers. If you know you can't decide whether it's too hot or too cold, and the temperature keeps going up and down, you can just wear one sleeve. We can remove that, and it just hangs down from your trousers because it's built into the trouser. I suppose it's a bit like those working breeches that people wear in factories and things, except they don't have arms, do they? Well, some of them do. Boiler suits have arms, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an elephant trouser. One of these days they'll bring back the elephant man. Will come back, there'll be a new elephant man movie, and there'll be all the kids will want to say, I want an elephant man trouser, or maybe it'll be an elephant man t-shirt or something, an elephant man t-shirt that has a trouser leg come down out of the bottom of it. Now, if that's the case, you'd have to be wearing normal trousers as well, or at least a pair of shorts, because you can't be going around with just half a trouser on you, a removable half trouser. I'm sure the designers will think of that. They do all this on the likes of America's Next Top Model Aeroplane, the other one, Project Catwalk and Project Runway, as you Americans have. They get all these people out, and they sit in their room for 12 hours designing an item of clothing. Half the time they're made out of nothing. They say, go into this bucket here and pick out some bits of crap and make some clothing out of it, and impress us as designers, and then we'll move you on to the next level. We'll say, oh, you designed that very well, you designed the trousers, now it's time to move on and design a whole season of clothing clothing for the modern woman or the modern man, whoever your design. If me both, I can't design for both. Women nowadays wear nothing but trousers, so you're pretty much all unisex nowadays. People like to think to hold these clothes designs that it's all for women. No, if you're designing a trouser, it could be for anyone. You could be. I'm surprised they don't design trousers for. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. I won't go and say that in case it sounds stupid. Last thing I want to do is sound stupid when talking about something as straightforward as the humble trouser. So be careful there. Anyway, two arachnophobics walk into a bar. One of the arachnophobics walks straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, can I have a pint of your finest Guinness, please? And please make sure there's no spiders in it." And the man behind the bar says, "Certainly, sir, I can manage that." Of course, he does nothing except his normal pint-pulling exercises, doesn't check for spiders at all. He knows this is just someone with a fear who he has to humour, an irrational fear, but he's happy to cater for it by doing nothing and just saying, "There you go, I've checked it for spiders." And the man says, "Thank you very much for that. And what was the result of your spider check?" And the man behind the bar says, "What do you mean?" And the customer says, "What was the, when you checked for, you said you've checked for spiders, and thank you very much for that, but what was the result of your check? Did it prove positive for spiders or negative?" And the man behind the bar says, "Oh, I see. No spiders found whatsoever." And the arachnophobic says, "Oh, that's great. Thank you very much. You've put my mind at ease. Although you haven't really, because you're a stranger. You're a stranger. A stranger in a strange man's world." Is that a song? I think it is. Is there a song that goes, "A stranger in a strange man's world"? So let's look that up now. Hang on a minute. Yeah, says the arachnophobic. And he takes out his eye telephone, checks it for spiders first, and then does a Google for "A stranger in a strange man's world" search. Comes up 1961 science fiction novel. Oh, that's not it. No, there's something else. There's a rich, oh, it's "A rich man in a rich man's world." Is that it? That's the song, I think. Hold on. "Rich man in a rich man's world." Let's see what comes up here. No, nothing there. I'm sure it's something though. There's something, "Rich man in the rich man's world, you're a rich man," something like that. It'll come to me. Anyway, thank you very much for checking. And he takes his pint away with him and goes down to sit with it. And the barman shouts after him, "Excuse me, sir, you need to pay for that." And the arachnophobic comes back and says, "Oh, I'm very sorry about that. I was so occupied with the idea that there might be a spider in my drink that I forgot to pay for it. Although I have to say, if there was a spider in it, I'd be even less inclined to pay for it than I apparently subconsciously are now. Ho ho ho." And the barman says, "That's hilarious, sir. Now just pay for the frigging drink." And arachnophobic says, "Absolutely no problem at all. Here's some money." And the barman says, "Thank you very much. I'll just count this and put it into my till and give you a change if appropriate." And the man says, "Oh, before you do, let me just let you know how much change to give me, because I don't want you to oh wait, no, that's not going to work. I want to do it some way where I can be sure you're not going to have to hand me back money from your till that might have spiders or their hot spider webs, because I'm terrified of those as well. I know in themselves they're not harmful at all, but as well, where there's a spider web, you can be damn sure to hell as Christ that there's a spider somewhere, unless a cat has eaten it, and I'm pretty sure you haven't got any cats in here." And the barman says, "You haven't heard some of the other stories that circle around this bar on this podcast on a regular basis then, have you?" And the man says, "Oh, you mean the two cats walk into a bar stories? I've been assuming that each of them is setting a different universe, or at the very least a different bar." And the man behind the bar says, "Christ no, that'll be ridiculous. Building a new imaginary set get for every new short story that's featured in the bar. No, you just build a set each time. If you want to make it slightly different each time, you just move some of the walls around or change the furniture a bit or have different characters in it. You don't need to be having a separate... You want to build a separate universe for everything, is that it? No, you don't do that if you're making a new soap opera that's going to be on 5 times a week for 20 years. Then it might be worth the investment, but oh no. And Arachnophobic says, I'm not sure I follow you here. This is an audio story, so the set is all in the listener's mind. And the man behind the bar says, exactly, that's what makes it even more expensive. You have to install these things into people's minds. A different one into each person, because everyone's imagination sees it differently too. So you could have almost at least a couple of thousand different versions of each set for each story. That would be completely unfeasible. And the Arachnophobic says, are you taking the piss out of me? And the man behind the bar says, no, you have to do that yourself. The gent is down the back there on the left. It's the one with the picture of a matchstick man with a penis sticking out of it. The ladies is the one that doesn't have a penis sticking out of it. It's just a bog standard man. Now that I think about it, that could cause confusion, because usually when you use matchstick people to signify toilet gender signs, the plain matchstick person is usually the man, the gent's toilet, and the one with the triangle instead of the stick as the torso is usually the ladies. So that would explain a lot of problems I've had here lately. And the Arachnophobic says, it would certainly explain some problems you've had, but not all of them. Ho. And the man behind the bar says, are you making fun of me? Some gobshite who's afraid of spiders, you're making fun of me. I'll be fucking ridiculous. And the Arachnophobic says, well, now that you put it that way, I have to admit it does sound a little silly. A little silly. But what kind of life would it be if you can't be a little bit silly when you're sitting down to relax with a pint of an evening to wind down after a hard day of avoiding spiders and spider webs? And the man behind the bar says, I suppose you have a point there. A point of my finest Guinness. Ho, ho, ho. Or is it? Is it my finest Guinness? Or is it the one from the story earlier that I didn't serve to the cat because he was too drunk and I just kept it here? Is it that Guinness? And the Arachnophobic says, oh, it better not be that one, because for one thing, that I wouldn't be acceptable of an old Guinness. And for another thing, that would mean that that's in the same universe as you are here. Which I suppose has been your point all along. So I suppose that would prove you right. It would just be proving me wrong as well. Although I suppose you can't be right about everything. Well, you can, but your chances are you're not going to be. Chances are, with a million possibilities for everything, it's a miracle that any of us are ever correct about anything. The chance of any of us ever being correct about something even once in our short lives is probably 1 in 1 billion. And even that's, I'm probably wrong about that. Which I suppose proves exactly what I was saying. So QED. And a great night is had by all.
IntoYourHead.com.
Support the Podcastual Arts at no cost to you. Just click through the Amazon link at IntoYourHead.com whenever you go shopping for anything, even if you use Amazon UK or Canada. We'll take your weird foreign money here. We're not proud. Just visit IntoYourHead.com and click on the appropriate Amazon banner.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in this program, email studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.
Matchstick cats. Matchstick cats. Matchstick cats. Matchstick cats and stuff.
Are you a cat? Or do you know somebody who might be? Then tell yourself about Matchstick Cats, Neil's webcomic. Brand new episodes at intoyourhead.com.
Matchstick cats and stuff.
Into your head.
I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, Christ, more than halfway through the programme. More than halfway through the programme is what you meant to say. You're rather clumsy, if you don't mind me saying so. But you're thinking, he's just past the halfway mark. He's had the interval and he's already had 2 instances of 2-somethings walking into a bar stories. So he's used up everything. That's all he's got Now it's all the ever-dozy. Two arachnophobics walk into a bar. Two cats walk into a bar. Two arachnophobic cats walk into a bar and ask for monkey nuts. Oh, that's what he hasn't done yet. He hasn't done the thing where he says monkey nuts, that's what you call them. Or has he? I can't remember, to be perfectly honest. I think I might have done so in the middle of one of the cat segments. I'm not sure. But there's no time like the present to make up for it if I haven't already done so. So thank you for reminding me. Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-piling, turnip-swilling, arachnophobic cat obsessing over... not that there's anything wrong with that. What's wrong with obsessing over arachnophobic cats? It's something that you haven't heard a lot about in the past. So to obsess about it just for one half-hour program in a program that has a history of over 700 episodes, I don't think that's overkill. If you hit on a subject that hasn't been discussed before, it's not unreasonable to go on about it for a bit and explore. Can you imagine if Columbus went and found America and he came back and said, I found this place called America, it's great, they've got potatoes and cigarettes, and Bob Newhart is going to do a famous stand-up sketch segment about it that's going to be replayed on every frigging aeroplane audio system for the next 50 years. And he goes, America, America, America. People didn't go and say, you're obsessed with America ever since you got back from it half an hour ago, having discovered it for the first time. Will you stop going on and on and on and on and on about it? They would not. They say, oh, that's something new, tell us all about it. I'm going to tell you, it would have got a lot more boring then than it does now, because nowadays he would have just done a few media interviews that could have been repeated all over the place and made into downloadable podcasts to anyone who hasn't heard about it yet can listen to. But in those days, he had to go around to every village and repeat the same story over and over again. Whoever was driving the car or wherever he was being brought around in, presumably some big car that he brought home from America or whoever it was, they had to hear the story every freaking day, five times a day. They must have got sick to death of it. They said, no wonder people started to hate America then. They said, we're sick to death of hearing about fucking America, some place the other side of the Atlantic Ocean that we thought had nothing to... I wonder what they thought was at the other side of Atlantic, the ocean before that. Maybe they thought it was just a waterfall at the edge of it. I know they thought the world was round, but maybe they thought, does it go a waterfall down into space, or does it just stop like one of those? Is it like one of those? You see them on holiday photos, those pools that slide out over the edge and you can see the sea beyond it and the pool ends. But you know, there's a wall there somewhere. Was there a wall? Well, obviously there wasn't a wall there somewhere. Was that what they thought it was? Or did they just think it ends and then there's space and the vacuum holds it in, or there's a glass wall or something? I don't know. Maybe they didn't think about it that far. Maybe they didn't need to. Maybe they had a bit of modesty and thought, we don't need to know what's over there. We've enough problems here of our own. We don't need to go thinking about what's holding up that huge ocean at the other side. As long as it's held in at this end by beaches and cliffs and things, then whatever's going on at the other end is the problem of whoever lives beyond it. And there's probably no one if it's just empty space. So let's not be making up new problems where there weren't any. We're dealing with the likes of syphilis and the Black Plague and the potato famine and all the rest of it. We don't need to be building up extra problems where none exist. So anyway, they said to Columbus, they said, oh, that's fascinating. Do tell us again about this place you discovered. And if it's so great, why didn't you just stay there? And Columbus says, if I'd stayed there, I wouldn't have been able to tell you about it until someone invented telecommunications. And even then, someone would have had to lay down the first telecommunication line across the sea bed, which would have involved me coming back and telling you it existed, unless we somehow both continents simultaneously invented satellite technology that could communicate with each other and use the same system coincidentally, by pure coincidence, without them having coordinated it at all, which when you think about it is a bit far-fetched. And then people will say, oh, that's true. I remember back when the UK was setting up their satellite TV, Rupert Murdoch Murdoch came along, set up his, and someone else came along, set up BSB using a completely different kind, and then they merged them, and they realised they had to get rid of one system, so there was people going around with 6-month-old square satellite dishes that were of no use to anyone. Well, Columbus, he was like the Leonardo da Vinci of the exploratory communications world. He thought of all this hundreds of years ago, just as Leonardo da Vinci invented helicopters on paper. Of course, we all found the thing with helicopters, there's no use designing them on paper. Well, with communications, it's a different thing. You can do communications on paper. You just need someone to post it and go back in the ship with the letter. So that's what Columbus did. He came back in the ship with the letter and went up to whatever king or whatever had employed him and said, here, have a letter for you from these. Oh, actually, it's from me, now that I think about it. It's my diary of my explorations. Would you like me to read it for you? Because it's all written in American, you probably wouldn't understand it, you're not as well travelled as me. And then the king must have had a bit of sense of humour, because he didn't straight away behead him, unless it wasn't recorded in history, which it wouldn't have been if the king wasn't able to read or write, or would it? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but that's understandable, because we're only 25 minutes in. I like to make these around half an hour long, although I suppose I could just start a new segment. I don't really want to, though. I'd rather just make this go on until the end and then do the thing where it goes into yourhead.com, and then there's the kid giving out the email address, and then it ends. But I don't know. Where are we? No, we'll need another 3 or 4 minutes. I'll just start a new segment, fuck it.
You're listening to
the Into Your Head podcast
from Ireland with your humble proprietor, Neil.
2 arachnophobic cats walk into a bar. One of the arachnophobic cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, oh Christ, there's a spider. And the man behind the bar says, you're a cat, you like spiders. It's like a free little snack for you, full of protein, very good for you. And it's your natural instinct to see the spider and become irritated by it, yes, but not afraid of it. You're supposed to hunt it down and kill it and then munch it like a bit of, a pretzel that you found at the bottom of a pretzel bowl. Although admittedly, I realise a lot of people are afraid of bar snacks nowadays because they read something on the internet where they tested a bowl of bar snacks and it had 19 different people's urine traces on it. But surely that wouldn't be the same with a spider that's flying around. So people don't go around touching spiders with their urinated on hands very much. Not your average spider. Your average spider wouldn't have been touched by 19 different people's hands. Urine or no urine. Usually by the time a spider gets to be touched by one human hand, it's supposed to the end of its life, because that human will either hand it to a cat to eat or will discard it or flush it down the toilet or something. So no, probably a lot more hygienic to be eating a spider than to be eating a bar. Although I shouldn't be saying that now, being the bar owner. I'm only talking about a study on the internet and not saying that my snacks are unhealthy. But no, although now I think about how that spider, if it's been walking along the counter, the bar counter, that's being touched by as many human hands probably as have gone into the bowl of snacks. So I probably argued myself into a hole here. Well, at least it was a good exercise in exploratory debating or arguing. You need to learn how to think about things and come to a conclusion. So at least there was a good exercise in thinking. And I filled in a couple of minutes at the end of a show, whatever that is. Anyway, what was the question? And the arachnophobic cast says nothing because he's left 2.25 minutes ago. Good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@intoyourhead.com.
Into your head!